Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Welcome in, everybody. Another hour here of Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster with you on a Wednesday, a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. We've got Tommy participating on his final Hawaiian shirt Wednesday here, petitioning him to make it a company-wide initiative. I would petition all the listeners out there, make it a city-wide initiative, a worldwide initiative. Why not? Is the only question I have for you. Why not do this?
You're starting a movement. I appreciate that. I appreciate your intensity on this.
I don't even remember where the movement started, to be perfectly honest with you. Paul Savage and I just happened, I think, wear a Hawaiian shirt on the same day. And I think we just said, oh, we should make it a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. I think that's where this thing started. And if anybody knows societal fashion trends, it's our buddy Paul Savage, who will be in Friday for picks, as will Tommy, not just this final Friday of his time here as a primary host, but we'll continue to make picks throughout the year. Brandon, TJ will come in, and I don't even know if we've officially announced either. Brandon and TJ are going to be taking over your chair in a dual role moving forward on the program. So that will be a lot of fun. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to getting them in as well. It'll be a nice, easy transition because they've been getting those reps for a long time now.
And look, it makes a lot of sense. Like, I'm not sure that there's any one singular person that can do the job that I do, right? You've got to have right. multiple people be able to fill the shoes of mine. So, I mean, that makes sense to me. I get that.
Multiple people to fill the shoes.
Yeah. Those guys will do a great job. TJ and Brandon are phenomenal. And
yeah, they're going to be good. It'll be good. And Tommy's still going to be in the building across the hall. I don't even know. Did you move offices in your new role?
Nope.
Did you switch?
Nope. Same office. It's pretty simple, pretty easy move, which is good. But I'll be in on Fridays to do picks. And, also if there are times that I need to fill in, I can probably make that happen too. So I'm not going to be totally gone from this program.
Yeah. Yeah, the things will feel similar, not totally the same, but the goal was to keep the momentum that we've built over the last 3 years with Tommy in the chair there. We'll get into KU coming up in this hour. Definitely want to spend a little time on this Cal Raleigh with a couple more home runs tonight. Just an unbelievable season for the big dumper. It might feel like it came out of nowhere. It's not out of nowhere. I mean, he's been a good player for a long time. But this historic season for him, how does it stack up? We'll dig in because it's going to create, I'll tell you, well, I'll save it for when we have the conversation. This Judge versus Raleigh AL MVP scenario the Major League Baseball playoff race is has gotten really interesting. You have a lot of things happening right now in it. You basically have, you know, Houston, the Red Sox, Seattle, Cleveland, Texas, and I suppose still Kansas City, although it's the most outside shot, all vying for two or three spots. The Yankees are a couple of games up. It's tight. I mean, it hasn't been very interesting in the National League, Tommy, but it's even. The National League has gotten a little tighter in the last couple of weeks here because the Mets are in a free fall. So, like we're getting what we want out of Major League Baseball. This is what you want. To me, like the goal of all of this, when they added the third wild card and they've done, like the goal should always be in sports. And this goes for baseball. It goes for the NFL when they added a playoff team. When we talk about college football expansion, the goal should always be, and there is a point of no return, but it should always be to keep the most fan bases interested and engaged for as long as you can without watering things down, obviously. And every sport's a little bit different in that. Like, what's the point of watering down? We go to 68 teams in the NCAA tournament. I don't think it's watered down, quite frankly, because of the format of that tournament. College football is a more interesting debate. Is 12 enough? Would 16 water it down? I don't know the answer to that. In the NFL, adding a playoff team, I don't know how you feel about it, did not water it down at all to me. Adding the baseball team has not watered it down. Baseball the most because that team has the best chance of all the sports to win an actual World Series. But this is good. I mean, this is a win for baseball. Baseball has had a bunch of wins in major changes they've made over the last 2-3 years.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I feel like for me, it's less about the number of teams participating and it's more about the format in which they are participating. I hated, and I know a lot of people hated, the one game play-in for the wild card teams because baseball is not a one game winner take all sport. It's just not. Like, any team can win on any night. Baseball, more than any other sport, is a series type sport. I mean, you know, probably basketball, like NBA after that, but really it's baseball in that regard. So I hated that play-in game. I hated the way that, you know, you had a team that battled for 8 months and they were potentially a game outside and they had to play in a play-in game and it all came down to one game. Like, I hated that. Like, at the very minimum, make it a best of three. So, you know, they made that change. Like, if you're going to add more teams into a postseason format, that's fine as long as that format is conducive to the sport that they're playing. And so, yeah, I feel like Major League Baseball totally got that right.
Yeah, it's they didn't get a lot. They got the All-Star game wrong. They got all these things wrong. They're getting it all right now and changing the rules, the pitch clock, the, you know, enhancing, bringing back stolen bases, the banning of the shift. Like, they've been getting it all right. The sport is so much better and healthier, I think, than it was. I don't know. How long are we into this? Let's call it 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's been good. It's giving more teams the opportunity. I mean, I follow two teams. They're both probably going to fizzle out here in the final 2 weeks. But man, we were joking last night. They got us to football season, right? They got us to football season. That's all you can, you know, when you're a fan of a baseball team, you just want to have a chance at the end there. And I would say September 17th is, that's pretty close to the end. When were the Royals seasons before last year done? Usually May.
Oh yeah. Early
May, June early. At the absolute latest.
Yeah. Yep.
And then you're sitting there and then it's like, what now? What are we supposed to do? Baseball's not a sport where you just go watch random games all the time. I love baseball, but that's not how anybody consumes baseball. You consume baseball by watching your team every day. That's how you consume baseball. And I'm thankful that the Royals have allowed us to do that at a more relevant pace. They got us to football season. We made it to football season.
It wasn't that long ago, 2 years ago, where, you know, maybe 3 years ago, when it was like the heart of baseball season, and you and I, like, the Royals were such an afterthought that maybe every once in a while we would mention something about the organization, like something they were doing, but we weren't going through game by game. We weren't recapping the games. We weren't talking about, because they didn't really matter. Like, they were so far out of it. They were losing 90, 100 games every single year. And then to your point, they were done early in the season. Like it was, they got off to a bad start and then, you know, boom, they're done. It really, it wasn't until, you know, Matt Quatrero, JJ Piccolo, those two guys really, you know, when they were brought in, Matheny was gone, Dayton Moore was gone, all of that, that the conversations really started to ramp up.
Yeah, it's, we're there. We're there with the Royals. I'm excited for next year. And I think that's a good sign. Speaking of weird baseball, did you see Ohtani last night? 5 no hit innings and hit his 50th home run. And then their bullpen blew the lead.
Yeah.
But Ohtani sits here. You know, Ohtani this year, it's not, I'm curious to see, I'm curious to see what, you know, happens. And we'll talk about this when we talk about Judge and Cal Raleigh, but Ohtani, when he wasn't able to pitch for most of this year, he's not even like Paul Skenes has a higher WAR than Shohei Ohtani, at least on ESPN's. And I know WARs can get a little bit different. Shohei is a runaway favorite as the NL MVP. Paul Skenes is a runaway favorite as the NL Cy Young. What if Paul Skenes pitched for a good team and had like 20 wins? Would he be an MVP candidate this year? There aren't a lot of awards right now in Major League Baseball that are competitive. They're all foregone conclusions, basically. Maybe like the National League Rookie of the Year. Everything else is like -1,000 or worse. So it's not.
Who's the National League Rookie of the Year leader? Is it Drake Baldwin? Is he in the lead?
Cade Horton.
Okay.
Leader followed closely by Drake Baldwin.
Okay.
And then Isaac Collins and Caleb Durbin of the Brewers, if that tells you anything. Like, I'm not sure I can tell you anything about, I know you obviously know Drake Baldwin.
Baldwin's my guy. I mean, I'm a Braves fan, and Baldwin's been one of the main, like one of the few bright spots this year for the Braves. And they're like 16 games under 500. So super disappointing, but I'd like to see him win Rookie of the Year.
He's got a shot. It's close right now. Just for the sake of the conversation we're about to have, Aaron Judge, a runaway favorite over Cal Raleigh. Should he be? That's what we'll talk about next. This dynamic of WAR versus tradition, let's call it, in Major League Baseball, when you have guys that just basically the same guys winning it every year. We'll talk about it next on Sports Daily. We've got Trius Lotta coming up this hour to talk a little KU football. Stick around. It's a Wednesday, everybody.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back, everybody. It's a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday here on Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you each and every day. We've got Trius Lotta coming up today. He will be in a little bit later. We're going to have this MVP debate discussion, probably more than a debate. It's all what's on tap the rest of the hour, brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, celebrating National Pepperoni Pizza Day this Saturday, which is September 20th. With a $9.20 pepperoni pizza, Pep Pepperoni Pizza, or WBC's famous pepperoni rolls. Enjoy National Pepperoni Pizza Day at WBC on 920 with $9.20 specials. Wichita Brewing Company, pepperoni pizzas and beer made here. All right, we come back here, Tommy. And let's get into this. So Aaron Judge is going to win the MVP. He is, at least according to Vegas, he's a prohibitive favorite. Cal Raleigh's 5-1, so still not totally out of the woods. 2 home runs yesterday probably altered those odds as he, you know, passed Mickey Mantle on the list for switch hitters. He passed Ken Griffey Jr., tying, I should say, Ken Griffey Jr. for the franchise record. Most home runs by a catcher. He broke Salvador Perez's record of a few years ago. He plays catcher. It's all there. You know, in most circumstances, this is your MVP. The problem for him is Aaron Judge is an animal and just puts up numbers that are absolutely insane and hard to argue with, especially if you subscribe to analytics. His WAR is higher still, despite all those great power numbers, his WAR is higher. So look, I don't know where you stand on this. I have a hard time with it. I want to see Cal Raleigh win this award. Okay, but pretty simply for me, I want to see him win the award. Judge is, you know, he's a 326 hitter in an era where guys don't hit for that kind of average. Ton of power, obviously, 48 home runs, 103 RBIs. His OPS is out of this world. I don't know how you argue with that stuff, but I would like to see Cal Raleigh win the award. I don't think he will.
I guess I want to know why with Cal Raleigh. Like, why do you want to see him win the award? Is it
catcher? All the historical things that are happening. The problem is he's a 247 hitter. You know, when you look at it, and his OPS is, I mean, his OPS is just quite a bit lower. So
it's around isn't it? Like 900,
950. It's great,
yeah.
But it's not Aaron Judge's, you know, 1127. Yeah. So that's what makes it tough. Like if Cal Raleigh this year, I don't know where he'd stand like in the National League. He is right near Shohei in WAR. There have been years though, like where Shohei's WAR is like, you're not even in the same stratosphere where it's like, well, you can't really beat him, and he's going to win it again this year just as a hitter anyway, but in the National League. But I don't know that Judge is that much ahead of Raleigh. It's very much like an old school versus new school conversation. I remember with the year Salvi broke the record, I don't know, and I'm not on social media much. I think, you know, people know that. You can always reach out to us on X or Twitter, and we'll get back to you over time. But I'm not on there constantly like some people are. One of the most heated things that's ever happened was that year when I said Salvador Perez isn't a top five MVP candidate. Are you kidding me? And like out of left field, Yankee fans were furious that I would even have the audacity to suggest it. The guy that just broke the record for home runs for a catcher ever and had an incredible offensive season, who played catcher every day, would even be considered because his WAR wasn't very high. And all of these things, and I'm just sitting there like, guys, like I like the metrics too. But you can't argue with home runs. You can't argue with RBIs. Like these are still very valuable metrics for a guy playing in a pitcher's park, by the way. Like, what are we doing here? Like mad that I would even have the, like, well, how could you even say that? He's not even the highest WAR
catcher. Yeah, but here's the thing. I think, and I don't want to get into a discussion because I know this is like talked about ad nauseum by people all over the place about the definition of what a most valuable player is and how you interpret most valuable player. But I mean, if you take it at its most basic, like the meaning of the words most valuable player, Aaron Judge is the most valuable player for his team. Like, we can look at just the period of time that he was on the IL and he didn't play. And the Yankees went like this, like they fell off a cliff when Aaron Judge was not in the lineup, when he wasn't playing. And then as soon as he came back, they were good to go. He is by far the most valuable player for his team in the American League.
He's played 141 games this year.
Well, I get it. But like, and I'm not saying Cal Raleigh isn't valuable for his team. He absolutely is. But if you're looking at it from a value perspective, if you're looking at it for how important is a particular player to his team, Aaron Judge is more valuable for the Yankees than Cal Raleigh is for the Mariners. It's not by a ton, but I would certainly say that Aaron Judge is more valuable.
So Raleigh has more stolen bases, which I think is hilarious, by the way. Here's what happened to Salvi, and I think is what's happening to Cal Raleigh. Aaron Judge's numbers, as far as his on-base percentage and his up, they're so inflated by the number of walks he takes. And that's, it's the same conversation I had that year with Salvi. Like, the main reason that it looks so much like that you're, because if you watch the two players play, it's not as far apart as people want it to seem like it is. Cal Raleigh has more home runs this year. He has more RBIs this year. He has been a more productive hitter in those categories. The difference in why these other analytics metrics go higher is because Judge has, what is he? Let me just, 113 to 92. Yeah, I mean, he walks a ton.
Did anybody ding Barry Bonds when he was winning MVPs for the amount of walks he had? No, I'm like, that was part of like.
I'm not trying to ding Aaron Judge either, by the way. I'm not. I'm just like, I don't want to ignore everything else because OPS is high. And I will fully and openly admit I am nostalgic when it comes to baseball. I love the romance of the game. And we have a catcher having the best catcher season ever, ever. And for Aaron Judge, this isn't even close to Aaron Judge's best season, right? It depends on how you look at that. I mean, he's up there in OPS, but by the numbers that I still think matter, it's not his best season. And he wins it, you know, he won it two of the last 3 years. I just think that it's an interesting discussion to have. Aaron Judge doesn't have to play catcher.
Yeah.
Right? What is a more difficult and important position on half of the game? Cal Raleigh has an impact on every single pitch in a game, right? That has to mean something.
You know what?
Aaron Judge plays left field.
I think in my mind, I don't think Major League Baseball will ever do this, but I do think a pretty easy fix for debates like this would be if they went to what the NFL does, where you've got the NFL MVP, the most valuable player, and then you've got the offensive player of the year. Like, they're two different categories entirely.
Which one would be which, though?
Well, like, in this regard, I mean, I would say Aaron Judge is the most valuable player, but I would say Cal Raleigh is the offensive player of the year. That's what I would
flip him because Raleigh's a catcher, right? Raleigh plays a more premium defensive position than Aaron Judge.
The offensive player of the year. Like,
I know. That's what I'm saying. So I would say Raleigh would lend itself more to the complete package of MVP, where Judge you could give the offensive
because you
player.
Already have an MVP and a Cy Young. So you've got an MVP,
I
and then you've got the best pitcher. And so pitchers like rarely win. Like, they're rarely in the, like, I know Tarek Skubal is up there for Verlander. Like, it doesn't happen very often where pitchers are also getting the MVP. So why not have, I don't think Major League Baseball will do this, but why not have an MVP and then an offensive player of the year to go alongside your Cy Young award winner?
Yeah, they won't do that. You're right. Shohei Ohtani, a part of the reason he's unbeatable is because of what he does as a pitcher.
Yeah.
To go on, he'd win it most years only as a hitter. But when you put his pitching in, like, it's like it's not even, nobody else has a chance. And this isn't that way. But I see that's the thing for me with Raleigh. I would argue, like, total package isn't getting enough credit in this either. He's a catcher, and that's why I loved Salvador Perez's season. These guys are outside of a shortstop and a center fielder. Like, those are the three premium defensive positions. A catcher impacts the pitching on every single pitch. He calls a game, maybe less so than they used to now with the earpieces and all that. But they're impacting every single pitch of a game. That has to mean something too. No offense to, you know, to outfielders, but he's an outfielder. So it's a more premium position, and baseball tells us this too, by the way. How often do shortstops and catchers get overdrafted? Right? Why is that? Because they play a premium defensive position. And so that's not factored in, like, at all to this, which I think it should be. It'd be like if Aaron Judge was a DH. Would we be having the same conversation? Probably, even though that's not really fair to Cal Raleigh. I don't know how I would vote if I had to vote. But, man, I'd love to see, again, for the romance of the game, the catcher that's having the season, the switch hitter that's having the season, doing all of these things we've never seen before, get the nod in a pretty tight year. That's the other thing. It's close. Like, their war is not that far apart. Sometimes you can't ignore it. This year, it's close. Like, it's closer than it has been in other years. I'd like to see Raleigh get the award. I don't know what he would have to do, Tommy, to get there. He's at 56 home runs right now. What is Judge's home run record? 62?
Yeah.
Can Raleigh hit 6 home runs in the final 11 games?
I mean, I think if he got to, even if he just got to 60, like if he got to 60 at that point, it'd be a lot more difficult, I think, to not give him the MVP.
Well, but why? It's not going to change the war at all, right? Nothing would change. Like their wars wouldn't really change if he hits 4 more home runs this year. But, right, it's because of that magic number. And I would argue that he's already hit magic numbers. Right, he's already hit the switch hitter magic number. Like he's already done that. He's leading the league in home runs anyway. Does hitting 4 more and getting to a nice round number really make that much of a difference on the season that he's had? I would say yes, it does. But because of, again, the romance of baseball, that's why I want to see him get it. So I hope he gets to 60. Maybe not at the mercy of the Royals, but you know that's kind of the situation we face. But yeah, if he could get to 60 home runs. How much fun would that be to just try to sort that out? I was listening to both the Royals and the Rangers driving around soccer practice and everything last night. I can't remember which broadcast brought it up. It was one of them. So I was flipping back and forth. And they were like, look, if you're old school baseball and you have an MVP vote, you're probably voting for Raleigh. If you're new school and you subscribe to the metrics and war, you're voting for Judge. And they had talked to a bunch of voters, and it was like a very clear dividing line on where people stood on this particular debate. But I think it's fascinating. And then, you know, over in the National League, Shohei Ohtani is going to get it again, even though he hadn't pitched much. He's starting to pitch again. He's a machine. It would be interesting if they were both still in the same league, Judge and Ohtani, right now, and how that would go. Like this year only, because when Ohtani pitches, it's a foregone conclusion. But this year, it would be so close. Paul Skeens, Tommy, as we talk about awards and navigate, just a couple of minutes left. Have you seen some of the absolutely insane numbers with him? Like if he had only 2 runs of support a game, what his numbers would be versus like 3 runs of support, what his numbers would be based on what he's done. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it goes back to just the Pirates organization in general. I know that they don't want to move their most prized possession, but you either need to get him out of there and get a huge return for him, or you've got to invest in the team. Like it's got to be one or the other, because you can't continue this, and he's not going to want to continue being a part of an organization where he's getting no run support at all. So either move him and get value in return, or start to spend some money to help him out.
He's not a free agent until 2030, man. Tommy. He's got 4 years. Could you imagine? They're not going to do that yet, but could you imagine if they, it'd be like Juan Soto, right? Like we're going to put Skeens up on the market with 4 years of control.
There would be 29 teams that would be clamoring to get him, I would imagine.
Yeah, it would be wild. That won't happen. I mean, the Pirates have got to figure it out. I mean, they've got another young pitcher coming up too, that's also really good. They could do something, and they have O'Neill Cruz. Like, figure it out, Pirates. Can you not go find 3 or 4 journeymen to give you a chance to in the lineup? It's wild. How bad you want to talk about an organ? Could you imagine being a Pirates fan ever?
No,
like
not at all.
I think I thought about this a lot with the Royals when they were struggling through some things. And I'm like, man, could you imagine being a Pirates
fan?
You
probably have to go all the way back to the early 90s.
They like, had you've a couple go back cups to, I mean, they of had, coffee with Clint Hurdle.
Yeah, I mean, and like Andrew McCutchen and like all of that. Like they had a couple moments, but consistently it was Jim Leland, Barry Bonds early before he went to the Giants, Bobby Bonilla, like that Pirates era, early 90s, Doug Drabek was like their ace back in the day. That was probably the last time that, you know, a Pirates fan had some consistent success.
And they have that stadium, which I haven't been there yet, but most people say is like the best setting,
yeah,
like that the league has. I just poor Paul Skeens, poor Pirate fans, poor Pirate fans. I mean, let's not say poor Paul Skeens. He seems to be doing pretty well for himself. But yeah, some of these numbers, if you haven't, go do a quick search on the lack of run support that he's received. I have him in fantasy baseball, and we're into like the almost the very end, and he pitched yesterday, and I was like, he gave up two runs in the first inning, and I was like, oh great, well he's gonna lose like two runs in the first inning to the best pitcher in baseball. Yeah. No chance.
Yep.
He doesn't have a chance. He's gonna lose that game. It's crazy. He's gonna win that award. Not a lot of award excitement. We'll watch the big dumper. See if he can get to 60. It may take that for him to have a chance at this thing, but we'll keep our eye on it because the Royals play them right now. Hopefully he gets them all later on. Hey, Open Streets ICT Douglas happening Sunday, September 28th, 12 to 4. It's a free community event. Opens 3 miles of Douglas from Grove to Glen. Opening by closing it to motorized traffic. You can walk, bike, skate, do all the fun stuff. 5 activity hubs with live music, family activities, and more. Food trucks, street vendors, performers along the route. Visit Open Streets ICT for those details. Shreya Slada coming up. We're going to look ahead to KU's Big 12 opener. Our first look there. Don't go away. More Sports Daily right after this.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on a Wednesday. We are happy to be joined by Shreya Slada, our KU insider, beat reporter at the KC Star, for KU football, the basketball football in focus here, Shreya, as we get ready to open Big 12 play. KU, big favorites at home this weekend at the booth. First Big 12 action for the new digs. How are we feeling this week?
Yeah, pretty good. I think Kansas, 12.5-point favorites over West Virginia. I mentioned this to a friend of mine yesterday. It's the type of game that Kansas wins by, 14 to 21 points. You feel good about the way Kansas is going to look and the type of game that you need to kind of win in a overwhelmingly confident way, I think, because that's going to start the start of conference play. And it's the type of game that, if they have any aspirations of winning a Big 12 championship, it starts with, not really struggling to West Virginia.
Coming off the bye week, Shreyas, and coming off of that loss to Missouri, what were the major things that you feel like Kansas and Lance Leipold needed to focus on to get ready for the start of conference play?
Yeah, tackling was horrendous against Missouri. I think, especially on defense, it was really, really bad against the two running backs who ran all over Kansas. Obviously, the run defense has to be better than it was. But just also play in the trenches. I think they got dominated both offensive, defensive line. And you could see that in that advantage. I don't think, luckily for Kansas, there will be a team as good as Missouri on the line, both sides, but Texas Tech should probably be a big test for them when that comes around. And then, of course, just looking at, and we've talked about this all last year, is it continues to be something to look at is end of half play, end of game play, those last 2 minutes in each part of the game, it feels like they got to get better job of clock management, better job of controlling the clock, better job of not making bad errors in those last 2 minutes.
As we look at the Big 12 as a whole, K-State's off this week. They're certainly not what we thought they were. Texas Tech looks like what we thought they would look like. Arizona State, maybe not quite as good as we thought. I don't know how you feel about Iowa State. It does feel a little more uncertain maybe than we anticipated, or maybe it doesn't, but at least to me, it feels like KU could certainly be a top half of this league team this year.
I think they should be. Their schedule should allow them to be at least a top five team this year. If this team is as good as they've looked in the first three games of the season, they should be contending for a Big 12 title. You know, I'm not sitting there and saying they looked amazing against Missouri. They did not. But they were in that game when they had no business being in that game for a lot of that game. And the thing that I will continue to reiterate and I always talk about, the big question was, how good does Jalen Daniels look? Well, Jalen Daniels looks like the best player on the team, bar none. Okay. And that's the standard that needed to be set for them to contend for a Big 12 title, to be in the conversation, to even have a chance to win or lose more than or less than three games. You know, I look at the rest of their schedule like, okay, I think they can beat K-State. If they don't beat K-State this year, it's never going to happen. I think they'll be competitive against Texas Tech. I don't think they'll win that game. I think Utah and Arizona could be a toss-up. But either way, like, if you're winning one of Utah and Arizona, if, like, they finished 1-3 or 1-2 in the last three games of the year, that's a team that has won, you know, nine, that means. I think they should win against West Virginia, Cincinnati, UCF. Obviously, we have to see it to happen. But if this team is for real, they will take care of business against inferior Big 12 opponents, which is a lot of what it is the next couple of weeks before they play Texas Tech.
You have a new article that came out this morning from the Kansas City Star talking about Jalen Daniels and talking about his ability to bounce back from mistakes that he's made and things like that, where the confidence has clearly grown for him. He doesn't look, you know, timid, or doesn't look, you know, upset after bad plays or whatever from what we saw a season ago and before that. What do you attribute all of that to?
You know, I think a little bit of it is he knows what's at stake, right? You know, this is his last time to make a real chance to improve his draft stock. I was talking to about this with a friend. It's like, this quarterback class in 2026 looks horrendous right now. Guys that we thought were going to be really, really good have not been really good. They've been really mediocre or bad. So if Jalen Daniels puts together a pretty good season, you know, like in the point of where we're talking about in Heisman contention race like we were in 2022, his draft stock is going to skyrocket, like probably from late pick to anywhere from the first to three rounds. It obviously depends on how he plays the rest of the way, but I think he knows what's at stake. I think he knows this team needs him to be calm and collected. He knows that if he goes out there and makes a mistake, it's not the end of the world. He doesn't have to go make it up on the next play, which I think sometimes last year he felt like he needed to do. And then we saw him make more mistakes. Things are not ballooning for him. You know, in the Missouri game, I felt like he played a B-plus, A-minus game against a very difficult defense. That pick was bad, but that was a desperation pick while trying to throw away the ball in a scenario that he shouldn't have even been in, because they should have gone for fourth down the previous drive. I've been very impressed with him. I've been impressed with his ability to kind of know when to do different things on the field, whether it's tuck and run or just checking it down. And other times he's testing his arm with guys like Emmanuel Henderson. I think this is the Jalen Daniels that people expected in 2023 and didn't get because of his back surgery, and the Jalen Daniels that people hoped to see last year, but obviously he struggled to start the year.
I think the question for me, Shreyas Latta, KU beat reporter for the KC Star, KU Insider. When I watched that game against Missouri, like, there were a lot of ways in which Kansas was dominated, but they were there in the end. Like, which thing is the takeaway? That they were kind of dominated in yards and in some of these categories, or that the fact that they were there? I don't know how much to take of either of those things away from that game.
Well, I think rivalry games are inherently a weird, just crazy things happen. But I mean, like, they were up 21-6 at one point, right? Like, I never felt like, if that was probably the only point in the game where I felt, okay, Kansas is in control. Obviously, that quickly changed. But I think it's important to remember that, like, you know, if you replay that game, Missouri probably wins 7 out of 10 times. But if Kansas winning 3 out of 10 times happens, that's pretty good in my mind, because Missouri was, I think, basically a touchdown favorite going into the game. And that game was competitive all the way until, like, the last 3 minutes, right? Obviously, there are things that Kansas fans wish they could take back, and I'm sure the Kansas team wish they could take back. But honestly, for how ugly it looked like at points, for Kansas to hang around is a test of their resilience and a test of to show, wow, like, this team is for real. Even if they're not quite at the level to beat a good team like Missouri, like, Missouri looks like a top 15 team in the country, this team is going to make some noise in the Big 12 if you know, they can continue what they're doing. Obviously, they have to be better at run defense, overall defense. Jalen needs to come to be good. The running game has to be a lot better than it was against Missouri. But I'm encouraged, honestly. If I was a Kansas fan, I'd be encouraged from what I've seen in the first three games because, you know, they took care of business against Fresno State. They played really well. They covered the spread. Obviously, not the end-all, be-all, but, you know, it was a big game. Wagner was Wagner. You know, they did what they needed to do. And then in Missouri, a game in Columbia, they were competitive for most of it. So even though it wasn't, you know, on the stat sheet says, okay, maybe they should have not been as whatever, at the end of the day, winning ugly is better than not winning at all. And they were close to winning an ugly game there.
Yeah. What do we know about West Virginia? I mean, obviously they're rebuilding. Rich Rodriguez is back as the head coach after almost 20 years away from the program. You know, he's trying to, you know, reestablish his ways, his philosophies, and all of that. They're not a great team right now, but what do we know about them, and where can they have some success against Kansas?
Yeah, they play with a really fast tempo, so it's going to be interesting to see how – I think it's like the second highest in the entire nation. So it's going to be interesting to see how KU's defense is. You know, you got to make sure, you know, they line up properly. They make sure they don't get rushed too much. They're pretty creative in offense, run a heavy offense. They've been like juggling three different quarterbacks the last two games, which is interesting. Their run defense is elite, at least obviously so far. They've, you know, they haven't played the greatest teams, but they're only allowing 2.4 yards per carry, less than 100 yards rushing per day, per game. I think Rich Rodriguez is putting West Virginia in a conversation to be a good team in a year or two. I don't think they're a good team right now, but you know, if they can be in the middle tier of the conference, that's a big step up from what they were last year. I mean, obviously, I know they were a little under 500 last year, but everyone knew with how many newcomers coming in to this team, West Virginia, they were never going to be a top end of a conference team.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. Are they better than we thought they would?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kansas, a 13.5-point favorite. It's a 5 o'clock kick time on Saturday. A little odd on the kick time, but it should be a fun atmosphere. We'll see if they can get it done. Shreyas, I don't know if you noticed, Tommy is in for his last Wednesday. Not to be concerned. He finally jumped in, and one of these things in the video stream is not like the other here. And
hey, I had to throw Jacob a bone for my final Wednesday on the show. I had to, you know, rock the Hawaiian for at least one time.
I got you. Congrats on the last Wednesday.
Yeah.
Well, I hope it's good news.
It's good news.
It's very
good news. Very good news.
We'll be here. You'll have you'll still have me to deal with. Brandon and TJ will be in. So we'll still be rocking and rolling on these Wednesday visits. Shreyas, we'll go find your work at the KC Star leading up to the game. He'll get you all prepared for West Virginia, the Big 12 opener for KU. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
There goes Shreyas Lotta.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, what a time, Tommy. What a time. KU football, absolutely relevant again. Thank goodness. I think for me, it was small, but the tiny fear of all the turnover this year leading to a bad year, it doesn't, that seems very out of the realm of possibilities here. I think they'll be relevant all year.
Yeah.
They'll make a bowl game.
I agree. I mean, I think that they are head and shoulders better than West Virginia is. They've got to go out there and prove that in the Big 12 opener inside the booth on Saturday. They've got to flex a little bit and show that they are, a legitimate top half, maybe even better team in that conference. And against a team like West Virginia that's clearly rebuilding, clearly inferior, they've got to do a good job, you know, going into that game and establishing themselves. And the fact that they can, you know, say, hey, look at us. Like, we deserve to be credited amongst our peers in the Big 12.
Yeah. They're there. I'm glad West Virginia's back, too, by the way. I'm glad Rich Rodriguez is back there. All right, we got more Sports Daily coming your way. Don't go away on a Wednesday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.